Survived because we're looking at the more of the life of Isaac. We're looking at chapter 24 of Genesis. Now, it's a particularly long chapter, and I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to summarize the story for you. But sometimes we like in the Bible some of the really good stories. This is the story of Joseph has to be my favorite, and along with many other people's favorites. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And so this, although this is just a short story, it's one that I've always remembered ever since I first heard it in Sunday school. And it's a story of how Isaac came by his wife, Rebekah. I'm just going to tell you roughly, Abraham was getting really old and he wanted a wife for his son. But you remember, they're living in Canaan. They came from another country in Mesopotamia. And they came to Canaan, and God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants. So Abraham is in a wee bit of a muddle. He doesn't know what to do about his son and how to get a wife for his son. But what he decides to do is he gets one of his servants in and says, make me a promise. Will you go back to my clan, to all my people, and pick a wife for my son and bring her to Isaac? Now the servant's not sure and says, will I take Isaac with me? No. Because Abraham's so sure about this, because Abraham's so sure about the promise of God. He's more sure about the promise of God than he is about his son Isaac. Because he says, no, I don't want him to go, thinking he'll probably end up not coming back. No, I want Isaac to remain here. You go, and an angel of the Lord will go with you to prosper your way. So the servant, after negotiating a few wee bits, a few fine details, makes the oath with Abraham, and off he goes. And he takes 10 camels with him and all sorts of treasures out of his master's house and other people with him to help him on the journey. And they get to really the right neck of the woods that he's going to be starting to look for Abraham's family, and he doesn't know what to do. He's standing there at a well and he says, okay, here we go, Lord. Let's prosper what you have said you'll do, or what Abraham has said you will do. And I tell you what, you see, if there's all the women are about to come out and draw their water, it's that time of the evening, and I'm going to say to them, can I have a drink? And if one of them says yes, I'm sure I'll give water for your camels too. Well, then I'll know that's the one for Isaac, and we'll work with that. And what happens is, the first one that comes out, the Bible says she looked beautiful. And she came out and she drew the water, went down to the spring and drew the water and came up with her jar. And the servant said, could I have a drink? So she lowers the jar and he takes a drink. And then she says, I will give water for your camels as well. And then it says the servant sat back and watched as Rebecca gave all the water in the trough for the camels. Now this is where I think our idea of what this Rebecca would have looked like. You see, all of a sudden, the Bible says about how beautiful she was in her appearance. And maybe you start to think of all these women that the world tells us are beautiful, these wee sticks that you see on the front cover of magazines. Well, I can't imagine any of those wee sticks feeding all the camels with water, because I imagine camels drink a lot of water. This would have been a girl, a good sensible girl, that could fairly cart the water up out of this well. So get that wee idea of the wee stick out of your mind there. This is a good working woman. Well, anyway, she comes and she does exactly what the servant had asked. And so he said, right, who are you? And she explained, and she turned out to be a relative of Abraham's. And the servant says, brilliant. Do you think you would have room for me to come and spend the night and stabling for my camels? She says, of course, no problem. Come back to ours. And the servant comes back to theirs, and they offer him, they've got dinner laid out, and said, come on, have dinner. He says, no, I must come clean first. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to tell you exactly why I'm here. And goes into the whole story about Abraham wanting a wife for Isaac. And this is where we're going to start reading. Verse 50. I'm just going to read 10 verses here. Laban and Bethuel, who are the men of the house, answered, this is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed. When Abraham's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, send me on my way to my master. But her brother and her mother replied, let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go. But he said to them, do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so I may go to my master. Then they said, let's call the girl and ask her about it. So they called Rebekah and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. So they sent their sister Rebekah on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. Then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebekah and left. It's an absolutely wonderful story. But at the same time, it's been an absolutely wonderful story. It's an absolutely mad story as well. You know, we're reading it from Abraham's point of view and Isaac's point of view, and we can see it all unfold. Think of it from Rebecca's point of view and her family's point of view. It's just sprung on them like that. This all happens in 24 hours. In 24 hours, she's away. And it's mad. And sometimes God asks us to put our faith and our trust in mad things. Things that appear mad. Things that appear bonkers. The whole idea of the gospel from the outside seems mad to believe in. To believe that we can have a relationship with the living God. But the God who created the heavens and the earth, what? Me? There's no way I could, because I know more than you know about me, and I know that there's no way I could stand in God's presence. God says, no, you just believe in me. You believe in my son Jesus, and you can have a relationship with me. Mad. But as we step in faith, as we put our trust in what God says, then we find out, like Abraham started to find out, this isn't as mad as it appeared at first. And all of a sudden we come to trust God more and more and more. But that isn't to say that God will stop asking us to trust in mad things. You know, look at Joshua. He was asked to trust that his greatest victory in battle would happen by simply marching round a city and blowing trumpets. Absolutely bonkers. Turned out that was the way he conquered Jericho. I couldn't get Nineveh out of my head. I knew it wasn't Nineveh. Couldn't get Nineveh out of my head. Never talk about things not in your notes. That's my advice. Well, Rebecca was asked to trust. You know, you can just hear them. There she is brought out. Will you go with this man? Yeah, I'll go. What a wonderful story of faith. You know, that's that woman's life changed just in an instant. And all of a sudden, in that decision to go, she becomes part of the matriarchs of Israel and of faith by that decision. I tell you, one of the things I find most interesting, and I'm only telling you this, this isn't preaching for you, this is just like testimony to you, but what I find interesting. It's not all the dramatic parts of this story. It's quite a small thing, and it just spoke to me very vividly, and I thought I would share with you. You see, while the servant was happy to spend the night, he didn't want to spend 10 days there. And I'm going to suggest a reason to you why not. The Bible doesn't tell us why not, by the way. So this is why, this is my opinion, this is what I'm thinking on it. But it's really from my experience. And that is, often there's an urgency about the call of God. When God asks us to do things, it very often comes with an urgency about it. So he was happy to stay a night. And I have always found that principle a guiding principle in my Christian life. And what I mean by that is, you see, if you're at, you know, maybe away for a weekend, you know, and it's all, you know, with the church or something, or maybe you're at a big meeting some night and it's wonderful and you're getting taken along with the whole fantasticness of it, and you feel that God's speaking to you, I very often say, Lord, if I still feel the same in the morning, well then we'll go with this. And that's to take away that sort of the adrenaline side of it. But what I also know from experience is, if I say, well, Lord, I'll think about it for 10 days, I've no hope. Because if you give time, well, then the madness of it, our reason, or what we call our reason, which is really not, it's our foolishness sometimes, we can talk ourselves out of these things. All of a sudden, we start reasoning with ourselves, going, you know, maybe that wasn't God speaking to me after all. You know, maybe I just, you know, that dream or whatever, maybe I just had too much cheese and maybe, you know, and you just come up with all these other reasons why you shouldn't put your faith in God. So it completely struck me like a lesson that I have always had with me from my experience. But actually, to see it played out, maybe that's the reason why he didn't want to spend 10 days. Because he knew that if he spent 10 days here, it would maybe turn into then, oh, well, no, you need to stay another month. And all of a sudden, before long, Rebecca wouldn't be going to marry Isaac anymore. And the moment to trust God would have gone. And Isaac would have had to find, or Abraham would have had to find another wife for Isaac. I find it a wee bit like times. The Bible talks about a time for this and a time for that. When God speaks to us, it's the time to listen. And that was the slightly obscure relevance of our video. Say what you see. There's a time to answer. When you see the answer, it's the time to answer. When you see God speak to you, when you hear God speak to you, that's the time to respond. At most, leave it till morning. But don't kid yourself by leaving it for 10 days. If you feel God speaking to you tonight, and Tally was saying this morning, God is a God who always wants to speak to us. If you hear God speak to you tonight, think very, very carefully about it. I would encourage you, like Rebecca, just to answer, yes, I will go. I will take the step of faith. Rebecca had no idea. You know, the servant didn't come with a brochure showing her the sort of house she's going to live in, showing her the sort of life she was going to have, showing her how many kids she would have. None of that. Will you go with this man? Yes, I will. So we can't tell you what your life is going to look like as you trust in what God is saying to you. But what we can say is, from the Bible, all those men and women who put their trust in God, no matter how mad it was, the thing that they put their trust in, they were not disappointed one bit. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the wonderful story of Isaac getting his wife, Rebecca. And Lord, while there's a whole load of cultural things that we wouldn't relate to today, at the heart of it, Lord, we see your hand at work. Lord, and we see the choices that people had to make. And Lord, to some degree, there seemed to have been a time limit on that choice. Rebecca had the opportunity, and she took it. Lord, I just pray for all of us that we would learn the lesson to take the opportunities as they're presented to us. Lord, as you present to us opportunities, as you speak to us, as you call us, maybe, Lord, for the very first time you're speaking to us tonight, Lord, I pray that, like Rebecca, we would have the faith to say, I will go. Thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. Amen. Okay, we're going to finish this evening by singing a few songs. I'll pass over to Steph, and she's going to lead us in that.